You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Freddie and Harry Podcast on ESPN Radio.
For Devin Kane, I just had to Google what paneer cheese is, because I honestly thought that DK was making that up. Paneer cheese, Ian? I had never heard of that.
DK, God bless you, buddy.
This is Amber and Ian filling in for Freddie and Harry. We are talking about food-related incidents because Ian, if you missed it, you can always check out the podcast on the ESPN app, but Ian was telling a story about how he threw a party for his daughter who's graduating from high school, and one of the young men who attended this party decided to quite literally risk death in order to try crawfish, and he came prepared with an EpiPen and with Benadryl, knowing that he was allergic to fish, and still went and partook in the crawfish. So that has now inspired us to ask you, America, what is your best food related incident story? 888-SAY-ESPN. Mardi Gras Bob is calling us from New Orleans. Go ahead, Bob. Thanks for the call.
Where you at, everyone? Mr. Fitzsimmons, crawfish done right are worth the risk, I guarantee you.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Risk of death?
So I'll give you the... yes. It cures everything. You won't die. You'll be fine. There's medicines for it. It's all good.
Terrible advice.
Almost 30 years ago, the Mrs. Mardi Gras Bob and I get married here in New Orleans. And beautiful, lots of Southern food. We had jambalaya. We had charbroiled oysters. And we had deep-fried turkey. Very delicious. I don't know if that's up north none, but much, but it's something down here. Wedding goes. We're honeymooning in the French Quarter because we're moving the next week. Now, my bride cannot wait to see any of the wedding presents. So she decides the next afternoon we're going to go to her my in-law's house to open a few of the gifts. Unbeknownst to everyone, my father-in-law had put the leftover fried turkey in the trunk of his car and left it there overnight.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Took it out the next morning, tells no one, and starts serving people sandwiches with this.
No.
At about 10 in the morning. We get there about 6 the next evening. It looks like a MASH unit. People are late. My mother-in-law's family's from Louisville, so everyone from Louisville came because it's a party in New Orleans. So they're all there. And they're all laid out on the floor with towels, blankets, buckets. Somebody ended up in the hospital for about a week with the food poisoning. One of the people took a sandwich to the airport, ate it, flying back to Louisville, and ended up having to land in the bathroom of the airplane, unable to get back to a seat because it hit him somewhere over Hattiesburg, I think. Laid out.
That is a nightmare. Thanks for the call, Bob.
I think we thank you for the call.
I had a girlfriend's husband who got food poisoning on a flight back from Japan, I think it was.
Oh, no.
Like a direct back from Japan. See, so that was very problematic. My husband got food poisoning from Mexico. We left Mexico. We were over the Atlantic. He got, I mean, what is that thing that you get, I think, for the
Montezuma's
water?
Montezuma's Revenge?
Yes, there you go. That's what he got. It was awful. They were, they had to call for paramedics. They end up having to get us off the plane in an ambulance. Gets into a crash on the tarmac with us in it.
Let me tell you something. The Revenge, that'll choke a chupacabra. I mean, that's no joke, man. Luckily, we avoided all of that because Sal did bring his own EpiPen, but didn't even need it because it turns out he's just allergic to fish and not shellfish, which I didn't know you could differentiate really between the two. But I guess I found that out on Saturday also.
Well, it's good to know. The more you know, knowledge is power. 888-SAY-ESPN. Tony is calling us from Arizona. Tony, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Yeah, 1998, a friend of mine, Chris, says, hey, I got tickets to the Cowboys and Seahawks. You want to go to the game? I was like, hell yeah, never been to an NFL game. Well, before we get to our seats, we said, let's get a beer. Okay, get down to our seats, drink our beers, you know, about halfway down. My friend Chris goes, man, Tony, what's in your beer? I was like, hell, I don't know. We just ordered our beers. So I held it up to the light. You know, this is an old Irving Stadium. You know, held up to the light. And I was like, holy crap, man, what is that? And I was thinking to myself, man, the guy behind the counter that was serving our beers was dipping. So I went back to the beer guy that was serving our beers. And I said, hey, where's your spit cup at? He turned around. And when he turned back around to me, he was white as a ghost. He took his spit cup and filled it up with beer and served it to me because he was, was in such a rush.
Terrible story. You needed to write Jerry Jones and get like free tickets after that. That is a wild,
look,
wild.
I used to dip back in the day, and I can't imagine swallowing another human's dippy treat. I mean, there ain't no damn way. Even my country redneck butt growing up on a farm in Folsom, Louisiana, it's going to be a high price tag in order for me to take a swig of another man's dip.
In hindsight, this was a terrible idea for a segment because I've never been more nauseous doing sports radio. 888-ESPN. Tracy is kind enough to call us from Illinois. Tracy, what do you have?
Well, I hate to break it to you, but I'm 47. I was 9 flying by myself from Illinois to California. We had a layover in Arizona, Phoenix. And I ate a ham sandwich with Swiss cheese on it. Unbeknownst to me, I was allergic to Swiss cheese. And the flight from Arizona to Orange County, California, it hit me. And I was being escorted by the flight attendants because I was flying by as a child. And I immediately jumped up because I felt it coming. And I ran into the first class area thinking the bathroom was up there. It wasn't. And I ended up vomiting all the way through the plane.
Oh, my goodness. Dude. So that plane, when you landed, probably had to be shut down. It's like a hazmat zone. They have to cancel the flight after yours. I mean, that is wild.
Hey, think about it. He's 47. That happened 38 damn years ago, and it's still haunting that poor soul to this day.
Of course. Yeah. Poor kid. I don't know if I'd ever get on a plane again after that.
Formative years.
Goodness.
Right?
Terrible stories there. We're going to see if our next guest has a terrible story. Freddie and Harry, presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Amber and Ian filling in for the guys, although Freddie Coleman, kind enough to stop by his own show. Hello, Freddie.
It's never good when you welcome me in. I'm in the middle of a vomit on an airplane story.
Hey, but the good thing is, Freddie, look, one, you had to deal with this kind of stuff for me for a decade, right? So now you're free from it. But
I don't know if I'm ever free from it. It's more like I wouldn't say free is the word I would use. I would say it's more like along the lines of confused absences. Let's put it that way.
But we avoided all of this because Sal was not allergic to crawfish at my daughter, your buddy Rowan's graduation party. It was just the fact that this dude was willing to risk serious illness, possibly death, to try crawfish. And he brought his own EpiPen and damn Benadryl. And, hey, Sal's still with us. He was at school today. By all accounts, he's still good. So, hey, we're good. We're moving on.
Is there any food that Freddie Coleman likes enough that he would risk life and limb for?
Pretty much my mother and my wife's macaroni and cheese. If I have to bring an EpiPen, if I have to have a doctor on board, a cardiologist, whatever, that is definitely one dish I'll risk life and limb and the pursuit of happiness to make sure that happens, because that macaroni and cheese is that good.
All right, so they burn it a little bit on top, like before? Yeah, I mean, is it that kind?
Yeah, sometimes they burn a little bit on top. Other times they'll put like breadcrumbs on top of it and everything. Those two, when they get with macaroni and cheese, they can get very creative, and it's always, always landing extremely, extremely well in my stomach.
That's worth an EpiPen. Yeah, I'm in.
You said your mother and your wife. It sounds like you chose a wife then to follow in the footsteps then. You're like, one requirement in choosing a wife is, hey, you know, you got to make the mac and cheese. That's smart.
Well, put it this way. I'm not going to say she followed in her footsteps. I just like to say they're both on their own even ground, because if you try to say that one is more than the other following in the footsteps, that will never, ever end well for the husband and the son. So I just stay Sweden as much as possible in the middle of macaroni and cheese minefield.
Freddie Coleman is a man with life experience. He knows women. All right. Do you know NFL owners, though, Freddie? Because Jerry Jones... Yeah. He's still out here. He's still saying the thing. We're all in. I likened it to, you know, the dude who tells the woman, like, he's all in, but he won't actually marry her. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't seem like he's all actually in, sis. You know, hey, Jerry Jones is just out here saying stuff, Freddie, but he's not actually doing anything about it. Take a listen.
We're very proud of our personnel, very proud of this roster, very much think this roster, without knowing right now how much the rookies are going to contribute. We're very, very feel good about the promise of the team that we're going to have this year with this roster. We will have young players step up, no names that become names, because names have left, and so those guys have got to step up. You cannot play and run a team in the NFL without counting on this dynamic going on. So it's, we're in an ambiguous business when it comes to projecting, but how do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in. All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming on. And we're all in with this draft.
Freddie, that's your coach, Bubba. That's your coach,
this
man.
This is your team.
Yeah. Jerry Jones is only all in with Jerry Jones, and he would be the worst greeting card writer ever if he had that as a part of his occupation, if he was not an NFL owner, because Jerry Jones loves being bored, because he knows when he's bored, he's going to say something and people are going to pay attention to it and people are going to run with it. That's why I always question that Jerry Jones is all in to win a championship, because Jerry Jones, to me, has always been too all in when it comes to Jerry Jones. And he doesn't want anybody eclipsing his star, not just on the side of the helmet, but his star, because he knows he is the star of that football team. And as long as he is going to be in charge of things, we get Jerry Jones, the worst greeting card writer ever, and we get moments like that, what he said today early at that press conference.
Man, Freddie, this team, how can you be very proud of this roster right now when this is off the top of my head? You need a left tackle. You need a center. You need multiple running backs. You need a wide receiver. You need a Mike linebacker. You need a badass three technique. Some may say you also need corner, but you're proud of the roster. I just went over half the damn positions on a football field.
Right, because other than that, Mr. Lincoln, how'd you like to play? You're exactly right when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. And here's the one thing, Ian, and you and I and Amber talked about this, because the Cowboys scouting department has been really, really good.
Yep.
That has given to me, in my opinion, that Jerry Jones a false insecurity, because you mentioned the guys that are still that are not on the roster that they need. But the guys they have on the roster, they've been able to hit on those guys, whether it's been Micah Parsons. They got lucky with Dak Prescott, Zach Martin. You look up and down the Cowboys roster, and they've been able to hit on guys. So that's why Jerry Jones believes he can use this all-in vocal tactic, because the scouting department that has nothing to do with him has been baffled when they've been able to hit on players. So that's the one thing that has led to a false insecurity, thinking, well, we can just replace players. You can plug a different player in. Does not mean you're replacing the player in that productivity. But that's where Jerry Jones, in my opinion, that's where his mind is regarding their lack of any kind of getting a free agency splash or what they believe they're going to do in the NFL draft 2 days from now.
What do you make of the fact that they still haven't gotten an extension done with Dak?
Amber, that's a really good question, and I look at it as a power struggle. I've always said this, that when you got two different people with yardsticks in the backyard, they all going to try to measure whose yardstick is bigger. And that's where we are, Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott. But Jerry Jones has to realize he does not have the leverage that he thinks he has with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott does not want to be any quarterback for any other team other than the Dallas Cowboys. But if you put him in a position where another team can go after him, we know what's going to happen. And it won't be $55 million per year, but it's going to be a long-term contract. Jerry Jones is betting that because Dak Prescott does not want to play for any other team, that's going to be a hometown discount situation. And Dak Prescott's like, look, I don't have to do anything. If I have the kind of year that I had last year and we win a couple of games in the playoffs, you may not want to pay me now, but somebody's going to pay me later. So this is a whole thing like I'm going to be the boss of this situation. Jerry Jones may be the boss, but he may want to be an employee when it's all said and done that Dak Prescott plays like we saw last year.
Yeah, Freddie, I think he's going to hit free agency. I think he's betting on himself. Yep. There won't be a long-term deal, and he's planning on having a career-type year and go to the open market. And then good luck, Jerry, if you want to bring him back, buddy, because, man, you better hope that dude named Trey Lance, who's on – people forget, is on that roster, might be some kind of a steal. So, but I'm with you. I think Dak's going to bet on himself. Let's switch. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say to echo your statement, because why would you not learn from the previous time that you were in a negotiation situation with Dak Prescott and you wind up paying him anyway, and now you're going to wind up paying him more money by having Dak bet on himself? That's the definition of insanity when it comes to Jerry Jones and that tactic right there.
Let's go to the NBA, man. And Freddie Coleman here with us on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, with Amber Wilson on me and Fitzsimmons. LeBron, to me, made a – it was more of a future play when he was talking about what the hell's going on in the replay center. And I firmly believe that every league should do what the UFL does, and that is have cameras in there, have open mics, and it's transparent, especially in this day and age of wagering being legal from coast to coast and border to border. What'd you make of LeBron's comment last night? Did you take it as a future play, or was he just hacked off about something that truly did take place in the third quarter?
Yes to both. And here's why I say that, because he's trying to put it out there to use your future play metaphor. And I think it's spot on with this. This is all about making sure you get a favorable whistle when game three rolls around. He has put that bug out there that everybody's going to pay attention when you're still the king of the NBA that LeBron James is. So this is right out of the Phil Jackson, Chicago Bulls, Los Angeles Lakers playbook that, hey, we, you know, these officials letting these guys get away with this, and they're automatically going to get a better whistle when game three rolls around. So that's number one. Number two, the problem I have with that statement is what you said about it happened in the third quarter when they still had a big lead in the third quarter. You can't try to put that, whatever happened last night, on the referees. You had a 20-point lead in the third quarter, and you let it get away within a space of 2 seconds, practically. You went from 20 points to a 5-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And then LeBron James, as great as you were in the fourth quarter, you missed a wide-open three that could put the Lakers up by three. This is all about, it wasn't our fault that we lost, when it clearly was their fault that they lost. And now you lost another game to the Denver Nuggets. You have not beaten this team since December 2022. You can try to play a future play and put that buck in people's ear about getting a better whistle in game three, but this is your fault because you had a double-digit lead in game one, you had a double-digit lead in game two, and you're 0-2 to a team that you have, that you've lost to for the last 10 times.
The Lakers cough up the lead to the Nuggets. The 76ers end up coughing up their lead with only 47 seconds left to the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Which one of those two teams, according to Freddie Coleman, is ultimately more screwed?
Well, it's going to be the Los Angeles Lakers, Amber, because the Lakers think they can beat the Denver Nuggets, and the Denver Nuggets know the Lakers can't beat them. And especially after last night, just seeing the look on the face of Anthony Davis, just to say, man, I've done my part. I've leveled up Nikola Jokic, and all we got is an 0-2 deficit and a lousy damn T-shirt trying to win game three at home when we go back to play this series. But you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, they know they can play with the New York Knicks. They let that game get away from them last night. And even though Joel Embiid tried to blame the referees as well, hey, Joel Embiid, box out Isaiah Hartenstein, and you're not having this conversation. And I know you're beat up from the feet up with the knee injury, but you got to do your job. But they are not that far away against the New York Knicks mentally and physically. The Los Angeles Lakers, that's a whole different deal. I think the Lakers are more screwed because they have not shown that they can find a way to beat the Denver Nuggets. The 76ers have shown that they have a way to beat the New York Knicks. They just let both games get away, having double-digit leads early on in the first two games of the series.
That is the voice of Freddie Coleman joining his own show. But don't fret if you miss Freddie. You can hear him tomorrow, 10 to noon, right here on ESPN Radio on Greeny. And then he's on Carlin versus Joe the rest of the week. Thanks, Freddie.
Anytime. Love you guys. Take care and be well.
See you, bud.
Amber and Ian hanging out, filling in for the guys here on Freddie and Harry. And coming up next, we can still take your calls. If you're still interested in chiming in here, 888-SAY-ESPN, if you've got a gross food-related incident. It's making me really nauseous, so I'm like, if you want to, like, I'll go back to your calls, because Shannon Penn's telling me to, but also, I don't know how excited I am about it. I was a little nauseous during the last segment. Also, and this doesn't make me nauseous, LSU football head coach Brian Kelly, he will be joining us as well. That's all on ESPN Radio.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Coming up in about 90 seconds, LSU head coach Brian Kelly. Right here on ESPN Radio. With Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. Here on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. We will also get to more of your phone calls coming up in a bit at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The topic du jour is, well, your worst food experience. Because at my oldest daughter Rowan's senior party, where she wanted a crawfish boil after raising a lot of money for her hospital that she was in for since she was 4 years old, Texas Scottish Rite Hospital, she would have this crawfish boil neighborhood fundraiser. She wanted one final crawfish boil. And one of her friends, Sal, shows up, and he's allergic to fish. He risked death to try crawfish, and he came prepared with an EpiPen and a bag full of Benadryl. Sal is still with us. Sal loves crawfish, but he was willing to risk leaving us just to try a delicacy from Louisiana. What is your worst food experience? What is something that you would risk death over just to consume and see if it's as good as everybody says it is? We'll get to your thoughts on that coming up in just a bit. And from what I understand, there's some doozies that are waiting online. But first, let's hear from Brian Kelly, head coach LSU. He's got not one, not two, but a minimum of three players that are going to go potentially in the first round of Thursday night's draft. And I had a chance to catch up with the head coach of the Bengal Tigers earlier today. Well, Coach, let's begin with the evolution of Jaden Daniels. When we saw you game one as the LSU head coach against Florida State 2 years ago, you told us at halftime you couldn't play any worse. And all of a sudden, fast forward, he's a Heisman Trophy winner and now going to be arguably, at least worst, a top three pick in the NFL draft. Describe the evolution of your Heisman-winning quarterback.
Well, I think it starts with, you know, right, you got to have awareness, right? I mean, I think his own awareness and understanding of what he needed to work on, I think put him in a position where he could succeed. Today, you know, look, everybody thinks they got it all figured out. Here's a kid that looked at his strengths and weaknesses and said, look, I got a lot of things I got to figure out and work out. And good for him, right? You know, he went to work on him and put himself in a position now that he's, you know, generational wealth. You know, he's going to take care of his family and his grandkids for the rest of his life.
If there's one story that you may not have shared yet about Jaden that just puts a smile on your face, or you're like, I can't believe that just happened, or whatever it may be, on the field, off the field, what's one of your favorite memories of having Jaden there at LSU?
Yeah, I think it probably would be that he's never really been that kind of guy that leveraged his success when he started to really take off. Like, you know, in this world where we kind of live now with NIL and transfer and free agency, you know, guys tend to leverage things. You know, when he was having his success, he never asked for anything. Everything was still about him being a college football player. You know, when I got a chance to really step back and look at it, you know, it kind of reaffirmed why why I do what I do, right? You want to see guys develop. And, you know, he kind of was the one guy that made this thing enjoyable, the ride, because he never asked for anything.
How rare is that in this day and age, Coach?
Yeah, I mean, again, I just think it goes to the makeup of kids and today. You know, the ones that are going to be successful, the ones that understand this is still about team, it's still about a team sport. And when they keep that in perspective, they're going to have success.
Brian Kelly, head coach LSU. He's got a minimum of three players going in the first round, joining us here on ESPN Radio, getting you ready for the NFL draft. And, you know, Coach, when it comes to Jaden, I'm sure that you've gotten this a lot. Why doesn't he get down? Every game we had you guys, I mean, he fights for every single yard. How hard is that to ingrain into a player? This is not just best for you, but it's also best for the team to have you out there not getting blasted by guys like Jared Verse.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think it's the competitive nature. But again, I think he's also learned that, you know, he has to be out there for his team to win. So, I don't think he's going to be reckless. He's not going to be reckless. He's certainly going to try to, you know, pick up that first down if he needs to, or that touchdown. But I do believe he is a young man that recognizes that he has to be playing for his teams to have success. So, again, I think awareness is something that he carries with him, and he'll bring that to his new franchise team.
You've also got not one, but two wide receivers that are going to go in the first round, at least projected to go. One in the top 10, maybe both in the top 10. That's Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. If you can start with Malik, what makes him so special?
I think we all could probably turn on the film and about five snaps go, wow, you know, explosive yards after the catch. Fact of the matter is he's a competitor. And he competes his tail off. And because of that, he is the man. So that's why I think, you know, when we're talking about wide receivers, he competes in everything he does.
You know, he and Brian, if I'm not mistaken, were both multiple sport guys in high school. Malik was baseball first, and Brian Thomas Jr. was, I think, a hell of a basketball player. Won a state title, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, at Walker. How important is that when it comes to just not getting bored, but also getting the most and just being more athletic, especially at the wide receiver position, for the development of a player?
I think it's crucial. All these kids play sports, you know, multiple sports. They're outdoors. They're not playing, you know, video games. These are kids that play, you know, outdoor games and are, you know, have great awareness of you know, their bodies and body control. And by playing other sports, I think it matters. And, you know, BT, in terms of his frame, you know, being 6'3", he's got great body control because of the game, playing basketball. And, you know, again, a guy who can, you know, catch the football down the field, everybody knows that. But his yards after the catch are extraordinary as well. And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, playing other sports certainly go to, you know, the overall development of these players.
Brian Kelly, head coach of LSU, joining us here on ESPN Radio. One of your favorite guys we had the privilege to cover the last couple of years is Mekhi Wingo. I mean, when you get blessed and voted on to wear the cherished number 18 at LSU as a transfer, folks, that is very, very rare. Now, I know he might be a UDFA or a sixth or seventh round guy, but, you know, when you look at Mekhi Wingo and what he was able to do, along with some other players, I mean, if you can just kind of sum up how far work ethic and drive and just being a damn good person can translate to making an NFL roster.
Yeah, look, it's the NFL, right? I mean, it's still about, you know, winning. It's still about, you know, winning a roster spot, and he's got to take a job away from a veteran. And so, what's going to give him that opportunity is versatility. You know, the guy can play the shade. He can play a 3-4 or 5 technique, and he's already done that, and he's done it at the SEC level, and he's done it at a high level. So, I think what really is in his favor is the versatility, his ability to do it with a high motor, and he's done it successfully at LSU. So I think he's a guy that can make a roster because of the versatility that he shows at the defensive line position.
No doubt about it. Who are a couple players, BK, that you were surprised and also really glad that NFL teams, multiple teams, were asking you about?
I think Jordan Jefferson, our defensive tackle, really showed well in the Senior Bowl. Physically one of the strongest players in the draft, you know, over 400-pound bench. You know, as you know, I brought in Pete Jenkins, you know, the defensive line guru, to work with our group. And Pete felt like, you know, he was as good as he's had in a long time in terms of using his hands. I think he's going to be a surprise in the draft. Don't be surprised if you see him go in the late third round. I think he's ascending in the draft. And, you know, again, you know, I still have a lot of contacts and connections from the guys. You know, obviously everybody's talking about Joe Alt, but Blake Griffin, Clayton Fisher, Blake Griffin, I'm thinking about basketball.
You just
Blake
retired.
Blake Fisher, the offensive tackle. Yeah, Blake Fisher, I think, retired. Blake Fisher is going to be a really, you know, good retiree, but Blake is a really good offensive tackle at Notre Dame that I think is moving up everybody's draft board just because of his, you know, he's a big athletic kid that toughness and, you know, a three-year starter play. I played him as a true freshman. So big tackles are hard to find, as you know. And so I think those are two guys to look for maybe moving up the draft as this thing kind of takes place.
All right, BK, who's one player on each side of the ball that you are just saying, you know what, you are great. It was a blast to play against you. Don't ever want to see you ever again. Good luck in the NFL.
It's pretty easy. You know, when you're talking about the great players in the draft, you know, there's so many guys that make an impact on a day-to-day basis. You know, you always look towards the quarterbacks, you know, because they're game changers, right? I mean, each and every week. But, you know, it's the guys that influence the line of scrimmage. So, you know, we've had great matchups in the SEC against, you know, great players against Alabama. But to me, the guy that just had the kind of season that has changed in my eyes the way I look at things is when that quarterback is playing at a level that Jaden Daniels played at this past year, you can't defend him. He was undefensible this year, and I know he played for me, but if I was on another team, that would be a guy that I would be saying in the SEC, thank God he is no longer a guy I have to defend.
He gone, and he's special, no doubt about it. Before we turn you loose, Coach, and then thank you so much for your time here on ESPN Radio. The new portal window rules, I'm getting confused as to what they are now because they're constantly changing. If you can, as a coach, what's it like living in this world where you don't know, at times, I don't even know which window you're crawling through?
Yeah, so the December window really is an unrestricted window where you can transfer anywhere. And you know, that really becomes the one where, you know, it's a little bit dicey because you're trying to set, you know, guys that are going to the NFL. You got guys that you know, are they going to play on your postseason team? Are they looking for another destination? That one's really dicey. That's a difficult time, that December, January window. The May window becomes a little bit more easier to manage because, you know, that one, you know, there's some restrictions, right? You can't, in the SEC, you can't transfer within the conference. And it's usually a time that you've gone through spring ball where kids now have figured out, you know what, maybe this isn't the place for me because I'm not getting the playing time and maybe I should find a place to go. So this May window really now has become one where your roster now starts to settle in. So I think we're all starting to figure it out a little bit. It's not easy because there are no rules really. But certainly I think everybody's starting to manage it a little bit better now that we're more familiar with what the playing rules are, and that is there are none.
That last part is and true words never spoken. Thank you so much, BK.
All right, great having you. Thanks. Good talking to you.
You too, man. That's Brian Kelly, head coach LSU, here with us on ESPN Radio and Freddie and Harry. We are presented in part by Progressive Insurance with Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. And Amber, when it comes to the story he told about Jaden Daniels and the evolution, right, to the play, he's just a sponge. Like everything you throw at him, he takes, digests it, and then builds upon it. For people who may have missed that very first question, that to me sums up how dedicated Jaden is as a player and a person.
It's what you want. It's what you want, right, when you're considering drafting a guy, because you want the guy who can grow with your organization and grow with your team as well and will bring the attitude to the NFL that they never stop learning. Coming up next here on Freddie and Harry, we get back to your phone calls. So if you're on hold right now, Tom, Chris, Jacob, Brandon, we see you. We will get to you. Also, if you want to chime in, the worst food-related incident you have ever had, 888-SAY-ESPN. Your call's next.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact. Helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is Freddie and Harry, but it is Amber and Ian hanging out with you. You can find Ian Fitzsimmons at Ian Fitz ESPN. His daughters run his IG account. It's glorious. They do an excellent job. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W Sports. I run my own. Waiting for my kids to get a little bit older before they take over that.
Before you turn over the duties?
Before I start dishing out the duties. It's only five right now. We got a little ways. I mean, goodness knows. If I turned over my IG to my child right now, it would be awesome. Nothing but Transformers on there. So, you know, honestly, it would probably take it up a notch content-wise if I really think about it. 888-SAY-ESPN, we somehow tripped onto the conversation of food incidents. Ian shared a story about a high school party. His daughter is graduating from high school. She had her graduation party, and a young man attended the graduation party, risked life and limb to eat crawfish that he thought he was allergic to. He ends up not being allergic to it, thankfully, but he did bring an EpiPen because apparently he is allergic to some seafood.
So and a baggie was full of Benadryl, right?
Right.
Which, he could be mistaken for something else also in a baggie. But, you know, right. it was Benadryl. It was inspected. And Sal is now a legend because he was willing to risk life to try crawfish. And the dude dominated about 3 pounds of them.
You had bouncers at this party that were inspecting the Benadryl. What do you got going on down there in Dallas, Texas? So that's what was happening at Ian Fitzsimmons' house. And it got us into a conversation of food incidents. 888-SAY-ESPN. Chris is kind enough to call us from Nashville. Chris, go ahead.
Hello, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Doing well. Great, Chris.
Good, good. I've known Ian for a long, long time. You probably don't remember me, but I was a bartender at the train station back in the day with Satterwhite and Turner and that group.
Oh, dear Lord, man. How the hell have you been? Yeah. You don't have to give out your last name on radio. That's all right. But, yeah, those were the days in the old train station. Moe's original barbecue started at the old train station. There we go, right there.
Where is this, Bama?
That's right.
Tuscaloosa.
And I still talk to Fernandez all the time.
got in the restaurant business after that myself. But anyway, now I'm a therapist. But anyway, I wanted to tell you guys.
All comes full circle.
You both have come a long way.
Once you're a bartender, right. You're kind of a therapist, yeah. Right? I mean, so there you go.
Yeah, I guess you are. I guess you are. But we'd ease down to the Purple Fish and all those places back Ooh. In the day when you could see Dave Matthews and Blues Traveler and a 13-year-old Derek Trucks in a bar. That was the good old days. But anyway, I wanted to tell you a story. I'm from Mississippi, South Mississippi, and my grandmother on my mom's side, they were a lot of Louisiana people on that side of the family, New Orleans, the Gugat family. Anyway, my grandmother taught art in Washington Parish at Franklin High School, and I'm sure you're aware of Franklin High School.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so family vacation, this is early 80s. I can barely remember some of it, but the story goes that you know, we're leaving Washington, Tylertown, Mississippi to Franklin to go to New Orleans to pick up Aunt Reba or whatever. And, you know, you're going on a trip down in Florida somewhere and everybody's hungry. And all you see in the back seat of a big old Ford station wagon from the 70s is a big old French bread. Everybody's hungry. You know, it's a long trip. And back in those days, you know, grandmas make you pack food. You weren't stopping to eat nowhere. But everybody's complaining and complaining. Get about the panhandle or something like that, headed to Miami or whatever. And Grandma finally decides to pull over at in one of the exits. And, all right, we're going to eat. You know, it was like a rest area. And we're going to eat here. And you're going, what are we eating, whatever. And she goes, well, unbeknownst to us, she had put a roast on the engine of a car.
On the engine block?
Like 6 hours earlier. And wrapped it up in foil. Wrapped it up in foil. And it comes out. And we got the French bread, mayonnaise packets in the glove compartment. And the roast was absolutely delicious and had all types of au jus and all that in there. And, you know, we were so hungry, you think, man, I'm not eating that. There's fumes and gas and whatever. But it was fantastic, man. It was like that's just a great po' boy on the road.
That is redneck Louisiana ingenuity. Goodness. Right there, man. Chris, good to hear your voice, and thanks for the call. Thanks for holding on. I look, man, that's forward thinking right there, to put an uncooked roast on the engine block, wrap it in foil and spices for about 6 hours ahead of time. Just going to pull off at a rest station and go ahead and make some po' boys. Oh,
only grandma would know how long to cook the roast on the engine. 888-SAY-ESPN. Brandon is calling us from Florida. Brandon, you got about 30 seconds. What do you have for us?
Man, I'll try to be quick. Thanks for taking my call. This was about Thanksgiving a few years ago when my wife's grandmother called herself Brian, a turkey for Thanksgiving. And I went to carve it and had this smell that I never had before. I was like, what is that smell? So I asked my wife, and she says, I don't know. I asked her grandmother. She goes, Ma, what did you do to the turkey? She says, I put the brine, put the turkey in the cooler with some ice. And I go, when did you do that? She says, on Sunday. I said, okay. Did you change the ice? She's like, no, the instructions never said change the ice. I was like, oh, my God. Everybody, throw the turkey out. Throw the turkey out. Turkey was horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't tell me you ate it.
No, it sounds like he saved it. It sounds like he realized. Unlike the other caller that we had from the wedding party where everyone got poisoned from the turkey the next day, it sounds like that caller actually saved the situation when grandma didn't know how to properly refrigerate the turkey wild. Coming up next here on Freddie and Harry, we're going to step away from the gross stories about food and talk about the expectations for Damian Lillard for Game 2 right here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.